Appreciated that. And a happy Father's Day to you all, you fathers. The message that you're going to get this morning is not the traditional Father's Day message, but it's one that God laid upon my heart a couple weeks ago when Mike thought he was going to have a fill-in, so you're going to get that today. The prayer of supplication. Prayer of supplication, and I've asked people what does supplication mean to them, and got a lot of different answers, but, you know, the prayer of supplication can be a petition unto God for you, and God respond to you. The prayer of supplication can be a communion with God that I can just talk with Him, and He hears my presence is here and the things that's going on in my life, and I praise Him for the things He's done in my life. That's a prayer of supplication. And then there's the prayer of supplication for intercession. And intercession, of course, is whenever I'm asking God to intervene in someone else's life and to bring a healing to them, perhaps, or whatever. But in petition, whenever we do the supplication prayer and make petition unto Him, we're asking God to do something for us. And that becomes pretty important because a lot of people think that they shouldn't be praying for themselves. I've heard that a lot. But we have a responsibility to be praying for ourselves and for God to direct us and to grant us wisdom. And that's the prayer of supplication. And then we can just have, that's whenever God's going to do something for us. But whenever we are praying the prayer of communion, we're asking God to do something in us. Do something in us. I don't know if you're praying that, but ask God, whatever you have for me, do it with me. I want to serve you. I want to please you. And intercession, of course, and we're asking God to do something, and it should be through us. Because if we're doing a prayer of intercession for someone else, think about it. Maybe it's time we put shoe leather to the pavement and go and help someone else. God can do anything He wants, but sometimes He wants us to do something through others. Whatever it is, we have the responsibility to pray, don't we? And how many times do we not pray, but we set worry and fume and fuss whenever, boy, you know, if we understand God is the one that's in control, we need to be praying, don't we? The Bible makes it clear, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving or praise, let your request be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, how many times we heard that, but are we living it? Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Don't have to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication. Now, we identified prayer of supplication can be for others, it can be for ourselves, and certainly we can be praising God. But He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer by and supplication. So prayer, my friends, becomes the ultimate. I'm going to ask this question now, and I'll ask it again a little bit later. You've been seeking a pastor. It's been a year since I resigned. Some of you don't know that, but it's been a year since I resigned. You don't have a senior pastor yet. How many of you have been praying consistently every day for God to send you a pastor? Every day. Got one. One? Two? We wonder why we don't get things, and yet God says you have not because you ask not. How many of you are worried about something, anxious about something? Be honest. You have not because you ask not. We worry, we fret, we do a lot of things. But James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. And then, if we look in John chapter 16, verse 24, he says, most assuredly I say to you, whether you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. He says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Some of us walk around like we've been baptized in vinegar, and I've said that before. Not necessary. If we've got the Christian, God's living in us, He's taking care of us, He's promised that, He says, you ask and you shall receive, then why aren't we asking? Becomes the question. This morning, the key text that I've chosen comes out of Psalm 81. A lot of people need to hear this. We all need to hear this, including me. But in Psalm 81, beginning in verse 10, God says, and I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouths wide and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice. How many of us are guilty of not heeding God's voice? It becomes a question to us. Things we ought to ponder. We worry, we fret. But how about, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Open your mouth wide. I'm reminded. I'll go on here in a minute, but I'm just reminded right now, and as I was pondering on this particular message, the robins have built nests in both sides of our house, in the front. Under, they come down where the spouting comes down next to the house, and they built those nests there. And whenever I go out and sit on the front porch now, little robins are over here just screaming their heads off. And they're wanting something to eat. Guess what? Mama responds. And she comes and jams things into their little mouths. But you know, they are in fervency, requesting. How about us? Are we fervently requesting? Becomes the question. I want to go on. Verse 11, he says, but my people would not hear my voice. And Israel would have none of me. So I gave, listen to this. Listen to this. This is so important. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. Isn't that amazing? God says, pray. Open your mouths. Pray to me. Open wide. He says, pray a lot. Be fervent. Just like those robins are. Wanting something to eat. And God fills their mouth. He sends mama with that big old worm. Well, we have that choice. He says, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to walk in their own counsels. What's that mean? Our own thoughts? We let our own thoughts control what's going to happen rather than seeking the direction of an almighty God that truly is in control of all things. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? Verse 13, he says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue, wipe out their enemies, and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would have satisfied you. Well, if that doesn't go along with you have not because you ask not. It's time, folks, to be unified in this church and be praying together for your pastor that hasn't arrived yet. Or for the one who has not made a decision yet. Until you come together unified as a church and pray, because you know that He'll answer that question, that He'll feed you with the greatest of bread and honey, the great things that are coming, but we first got to pray. Be in submission to the Almighty God daily. Becomes pretty important, that prayer of intercession. I want to share with you, and I'm not one to look back. I don't like to look back. But let me tell you, yes, that's my motto. Forward ever, backward never. I never want to go back. I want to go forward for the Lord, and I think that goes along with Scripture. But I want to tell you, Just a little story and spend a little time. History of this church. 13 years ago when I arrived, there was about 20 people at that point, and they were praying. They just about all come to the Wednesday night Bible study. They just about all came, and at that point there was only 3 children in the church, and it was all from one family. A group of people that was endued from the power above that were praying for children to come into the church, for the church to grow, for them to become what God would have them to do. They had just been hurt by a pastor who had left, and another pastor came and was hurting right along with them and was leading them into prayer and intensive Bible study. I mean, in fervency, they were praying and seeking. You know what? Whenever they all got together, as I'm encouraging you this morning, as they all got together, was edifying one another, was lifting up one another, was encouraging God and asking God fervently to fulfill their needs. I want to share with, real quick, what he did. A kids' carnival was done the first year, and this whole grounds, where this church sits now, was a grounds that was green grass, and up behind was green grass, and it was all filled with people who were bringing their kids. Out of that come born what God was leading into Awana. And Awana was brought about. This building wasn't here. The sanctuary was where the fellowship hall is. The pulpit was back where the kitchen was. The baptistry was back there. No place for a Awana game floor. Folks were willing to give up those beautiful oak pews and put in these chairs so they could take them up and put them down twice a week so that we could bring in those little snotty-nosed kids that needed love, and they got it. Did all of that happen without prayer? I can share with you it was a result of prayer. Many ministries grew out of people praying. The prayer of supplication, the coming together with being edifying one another and lifting up one another and encouraging one another. That's what brings on God's great power to move in the church and to march it forward as a living organism, a body, a living organism. You know, out of that come youth groups, out of that come the Awana, out of that come a lot of ministries that led people to Jesus Christ. And it pleased him. The young adult ministries, family ministries, Sunday school growth, visitation ministry moving, deacon groups. These things happened because people were praying and they were edifying one another. I'm saying that 3 times. People were praying for one another. They were edifying one another. They was doing an intercession and praying that prayer of supplication. You see, in our prayer petitions, God does something for us. And whenever we're in communion with God in that supplication prayer, God does something in us. And it's in us where God's going to move and move as a whole body goes marching as the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to. God wants to do something for us. God wants to do something in us. And God wants to do something through us. But He can't do it until we ask Him. You can believe that or not believe that. But the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, He makes it very clear. He says, be careful for nothing. We've already read it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I wonder, and I've wondered this many times, how many blessings does God have for us as individuals, or does God have blessings for us as a corporate body of believers that are in file drawers in heaven that's never been asked for, and consequently they've never been released to this body? I wonder if they're being mildewed. I wonder if there's things that He wants to give us are rusting in heaven because we're not asking. I wonder. How many times has God wanted to bless us? How many times has God really wanted to bless us as individuals and we didn't ask? I want you to think about this. There is absolutely nothing that God will withhold from His children that are good for them and we ask for. It's almost like God puts these things in the bank of heaven and we have to ask to take that withdrawal. Think about it. So important. Unhappiness. People are unhappy today. Let me tell you something. And I can show you this by scripture. You show me a person that learns to pray, really pray, fervently, not these little bitty prayers that you mumble the same thing over and over, but I'm talking about it being fervently. Those people that pray, they're happy Christians. They're happy Christians. There's no drama. They're happy Christians. They're wanting to serve the mighty God that sustains them, that gives them all of the blessings of each day. You see, prayer. Prayer is the beginning of happiness. Ask and you shall receive, he says. Ask and you shall receive that your joy will be full. If I understand, joy is much greater than happiness. Happiness is temporal, but joy is permanent. And God gives that to us when we're in the sake of prayer. The prayer of supplication, my friends, is a cure for every worry. When I come to the point where I can trust God and absolutely trust God, when I ask Him, I know He's going to respond to me. I don't have to worry. It's in His hands. I can say in the last few years, and I hope that some of you are reaching to that point. He says to be praying always. Be praying always, Thessalonians tells us. But praying always doesn't have to be the mumbling of prayers. My thought patterns, your thought patterns, ought to be a focus upon God. God, what is it that you want me to do with this situation that's before me? What is it that you want me to do? And I can think that prayer. God knows my every thoughts. What if I'm thinking about what I need to do and how I need to do something mechanically or however? What if I ask God, God, grant me the wisdom. Give me the knowledge, Lord. Grant it to me that I might fulfill your desire. You see, Christians, sometimes we go around and we act defeated and discouraged and there's no need in it. The prayer of supplication will answer all those questions. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, be careful for nothing. That is, don't worry. Do you want to agree with me this morning that worry is sin? Worry is sin. Do we want to be a bunch of sinful people that God can't hear because we want to be sinful? I'm going to bring that point out in a minute. But I got to move on because I got to get back to my scripture. But I want us to understand this Psalm 81. When God starts out there in verse 10, He says, I am the Lord your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt. What He's saying is, I'm the source, I'm the originator of everything that occurs that can happen. It's first got to get filtered through me, God's saying. He says, I'm the originator. He said, I am the Lord your God. So God is our source. And I think that here we see in this text that God is extending an invitation to the children of Israel. And you might want to say this morning, well, this is not for me, it was for the children of Israel. Are you not a converted Jew, my friends? I am. I am God's chosen. You are God's chosen. We are converted Jews, and this same thing applies to me. He says, I am the Lord your God. He identifies Himself as the Jehovah, as the great I am, the God who was and is and shall ever be. The God who has all the riches of the universe. Are we taking Him that serious? Are we taking Him that serious that He is the God of the universe, that He has everything in control and everything that happens is filtered through Him, that He allows? Job 41:11, God says, whatsoever is under heaven is mine. In Deuteronomy 10:14, the Bible says, behold, the heavens and the earth, and the heavens of the heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, which is all that therein. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of all the worlds in His hands. I want us to know this morning that our God is extending an invitation to us to pray. He's encouraging us to pray. He's encouraging us to hit our knees. He's encouraging us that our every thought is to be based upon what He wants, not what our desires are. We got to allow God to be God, my friends. You'll remember when He talks about these Jews being freed from Egypt, you know, that was no small thing that He did, incidentally. There was millions of them down there in Egypt. Might have all started when He threw down when Moses threw down his rod and it became a serpent, followed by the 10 plagues that put Egypt down, followed by whenever God parted the Red Sea and the Israelites crossed over on a dry land, but yet whenever the Egyptians come, God overpowered them and released the water and drowned them and killed them. When they got across the Red Sea, they was moaning for food, and whenever they finally come to believe that God could give it to them, He rained down manna morning and night to feed them. The dry boulders that was there, what did He do? He turned them into water so that they had water and food. It was no easy thing. It was no small thing. But God was able to do it, and He freed them. And they returned to their land. I think God's trying to remind us here and now that God is almighty, and He will fulfill our every needs, and He'll take care of our every needs. But we need to pray. We have not because we ask not. So important. The significance. The significance that He's talking about here. He says, open your mouth wide. Do you know what I think that says? He said, open your mouth wide. He said, let them prayers flow. Talk. In fervency. Like the little robin story I already told you. You know, prayer is the only way to God's heart, my friends. Prayer. I'm confident there are times whenever God wanted to unload His boat upon us with benefits and we would not pray. And yet we end up as a group of people that we fight, we war, we scheme, we connive, we plan, we do everything but go to Him in prayer. If we want, we've got to ask. I want to share with you a story. I'll get away from the text just a minute. I want to share this story with you because I thought it was a great one. Adrian Rogers was one of my favorite people who has now went on to be with the Lord. And some of you may have heard him speak. You may have read some of his books. He's a great guy. I love him. I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven. But he told about the story about whenever he lived in Florida. And he had the tangerine tree and the grapefruit tree and the orange tree, a sweet orange tree out in his backyard. But there was also a sour orange tree. And if you don't know anything about Florida fruit, a sour orange tree is not one you want to eat from because it'll pucker you up real big. It's about 3 times sour than anything you ever had. But Adrian told the story, and I read about this, how he said he went out to harvest in his backyard and he brought in several bushel baskets of sweet oranges and tangerines and grapefruit, and they were sitting there in the kitchen. But then he sat down to have lunch and he was able to look out his back window into the backyard, and this young fellow, about 12 or 13 years old, he had meandered in, but he was looking around as if he was trying to take something. And finally, Adrian says, I come to realize what was happening. He reached up in that old sour orange tree. He said he pulled down the leaf so he could get a hold of the branch, and he finally got it branched, and he said, I finally realized what he was doing. He was wanting to steal an orange. Adrian says, you know, I was watching him. He didn't know it. But he says, I want to tell you something. He says, God's watching us all the time. He's watching how we react. Well, this little guy, he got that sour orange, and Adrian said, you know, if he'd only came to my back door and asked for an orange, he said, I would have been glad to tell him, you don't want that orange, son. Here, I've got a whole bag full of these sweet oranges. I'll just be glad to give you. The point is, how many times Do we take the devil's old sour oranges rather than asking God for the good stuff? How many times? I wonder. I wonder how many times we simply do not have because we try to get things on our own power and we forget about the great power of the great I Am, Jehovah. I wonder. My friends, God is not poor and God is not broke and God has everything that we need. He's ready to give it, but we need to ask. If it fits His will, you ask according to His will, and He'll grant it. The scope of this, what God's trying to tell us this morning here in Psalm 81. He says, open my mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. He said, open it wide. Why aren't we? I'm not talking about the robin mother feeding the young. I'm talking about us crying out to God, making our request known, whether it be for us, for others, or us as an individual group to supply our needs. Wow. It's time that we get engaged in some bold praying. You know, whether you know it or not, it doesn't matter, and I'm not bragging, but I still pray for this church and a lot of you as individuals every day, and I got my list that I pray for every day. I care, as God cares for each one of you. You have a tremendous associate pastor that has run his tail off trying to reach and to mend things and to minister wherever he could. You need to be praying for him. You need to be praying for him. It's no easy task what Mike Walters is trying to accomplish for you. He's a great man of God, and I respect him. Assist him. Deacons, be deacons. Assist him. You know, we've got to engage in bold praying. I want to remind you about some guys that prayed in a bold way. Elijah prayed, and God answered him by sending fire from heaven. You remember that in the scriptures? I do. Daniel prayed, and he was delivered from the lion's den. You remember that? I do. Jesus prayed, and he fed the multitude with a little boy's lunch. You remember that? I do. The early church prayed. Peter was delivered from prison. Do you remember that? I do. I look back to where this church was 13 years ago, and they were a praying church. And it seems like it's something that's just dwindled away. The other Wednesday night, 4 or 5 people, Bible study. Thank God for the 5 men that came. I think there was 5 or 6 that came and was praying before the Bible study. But I think we want us to think about what God's giving us here as an invitation. He says, open your mouth wide. He says, in other words, you better be praying. Get busy praying. Half-hearted prayers, I don't think, get answered. I think it's whenever we get into the fervency of prayer and we're actually, think about this. If we're praying the way we ought to be praying, we're praying to the Almighty Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus and in the Spirit. I want you to think about something. If we're trying in our prayers of supplication to get into the presence of God, I mean, if we're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus and in the Spirit, I want to ask you something. If you think that we're going in before the Holy God in prayer, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, in the Spirit, the triune God, if you think that we're going into His presence with sin in our lives, you better think again. Sin hinders prayer. You say, well, I'm not sinful. Well, I want you to think about this a minute. My Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. That's serious business. You want to dabble around in sin? Oh, no, it's just a little sin. Oh, no, that's no big thing. Let me tell you something. The smallest sin is sin to God. And it will hinder your prayers. You say, oh, no, 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 no. Jesus paid the price for all that sin. You sure did. He also asks us to repent, which means turn away completely from that sin and then ask forgiveness. Do you believe when that sin is in our lives, that unconfessed sin is in our lives, do you really believe that you can go into the presence of the Almighty Father in the name of Jesus and in the Spirit as we're supposed to? I question that. Should you? Does those little sins matter to God? Sure do. Sure do. Can I stop from sinning? No, I'm in the flesh. Can you stop from sinning? No, you're in the flesh. Can you ask forgiveness? Yes, you can. Will that stop the hindrance of prayer? Yes, it will. When it's serious. Do you really believe that our holy God is going to listen until you repent and you get your lives right with Him? Our God is a loving God. He's a gracious God. Loving in nature. Wants to pour out blessings to us. Full of grace and full of mercy. But I'm going to tell you something else about God. He can't stand sin. He hates sin. We've heard this morning what God desires. Now it's up to us as each one, as individuals. Confess sins. Reconcile with brothers. Maybe it's time, rather than running this, to do this with one another. Maybe it's time to be tied together. Maybe it's time to uplift the ministries that God has poured out to you, rather than thinking that it's all going to happen automatically. God requires prayer, my friends. We are in a world right now that is pretty much headed down the tube. And the only thing that's going to turn it around is exactly what God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I want to read and remind you of that scripture that you have heard many times. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayers made in this place. Do you hear that? That's a promise. Absolute promise. He says, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I coveted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. You shall not fail to have a pastor in Coshocton Baptist Church when you get together and pray. God has made the provision for this church. And He's made the provisions for each one of us. But it's up to each one of us to get right with God. Get right with God. When we start to stray, guess what? You got a lot of followers. The world loves it whenever you as a Christian stray away from Him. The world loves it. The devil loves it. That's not where we belong. God's made the provisions for this church. It's up to each one of us to get right with Him. I've said that twice. Then He can pour out the blessings upon you. You see, it's either we're blessed or we're cursed. If we're with God, we'll be blessed. We choose to follow the adversary and stray away from God, things will happen that should not happen. And God makes it clear. He's willing to bless, but we've got to allow Him. First thing we've got to do, be willing to ask. It's called the prayer of supplication. If you're here this morning, you've not been saved, I'm going to tell you that it's time for you to get saved. When we sang that song this morning, you know, today is a great day. It is. And I'm going to say happy Father's Day. But you know what, fathers? This message is a message that you need to take to your children, whether they're married, whether you have grandchildren. It's a message you need to take to them. Because the time is short, my friends. Everything that I see that's happening and everything that you see that's happening, it's serious business at this point in time. Because if you're not saved, I'll tell you what, it's going to be bad. I won't tell you the story, but I got a story I can tell you about it, how bad it's going to be. But it's going to be bad. I encourage you, if you're not saved this morning, that you come. But I'm also asking this morning that this church be unified. Be unified in prayer. Be lifting up to one another. Be edifying to one another. When people are straying away, as I see a lot strayed already, how many of you have called them up and edified them and prayed with them on the phone? Is that up to Mike Walters only? How about it, deacons? How about it, men? How about it, ladies? You're here. You're hearing the message. You're here because God wanted you to hear this. I happen to be here because He pounded on me to deliver this message. Oh, it would be great on Father's Day if I could have tickled your ear with a Father's Day message. This is serious business. If you've not been saved, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus provided the way for you to have eternal life and to be with Him one day in heaven. And the only way that can happen is for you to ask forgiveness of your sins and tell Jesus Christ, tell God that you believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for you. He was buried, and on the third day, God raised Him from the dead. My Bible makes it clear, if you believe that with all your heart, confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. And I encourage you, if you're not saved this morning, that you might do so. Other than that, I'd ask for us all to get in a circle and circle the wagons, and let's pray.